CBS News. I'm Sam Litzinger. President Clinton says Americans should pray for the students killed in a school shooting spree in the Denver suburb of Littleton. CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller joins us live.
Describing himself as profoundly shocked and saddened, the president offered the federal government's help to the people of Littleton. He said an abundance of counselors will be needed to help the community deal with the tragedy and loss. And though all the facts of the incident are not known, the president said much more must be done to teach children to express their anger and resolve their conflicts with words and not weapons.
And we do know we have to do more to recognize the early warning signs that are sent before children act violently.
And because of the tragedy, the president has canceled a trip tomorrow to Texas, where he was to dedicate an airport and attend two political fundraisers. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
Witnesses say two young men dressed in black trench coats opened fire, apparently targeting minorities and athletes. Some students say the gunmen giggled as they fired.
I was walking outside the school with my friend, and they were starting to mess with their guns or something, and we walked down the stairs. And they started shooting people, and at first we didn't think it was real, and then we saw blood.
Janine is one of the students who survived the killing. County Information Officer Steve Davis says the suspects apparently had some explosives.
There appears to be some explosive devices inside the school around the suspects' bodies that haven't been detonated, so the bomb team right now is working on the detonation of those or the removal of those without detonating, hopefully.
Some houses in the area may have to be evacuated. There's word of explosives in some cars near the school. The two suspects were said to be members of a school gang known as the Trenchcoat Mafia, kids who mostly kept to themselves, jerks, one student calls them, but says until now they hadn't done anything violent.
Officials in Littleton, Colorado are now saying about a dozen bombs have been found inside that Columbine High School scene of yesterday's shooting spree that left as many as 25 people dead, more than a dozen others wounded. Student Braden Persusich was on CNN's Larry King Live.
I went under the table where I was eating, and then I could see outside, and I saw another guy in his trench coat throwing pipe bombs into the parking lot.
The bodies of students and at least one faculty member have not been removed from the school because of the danger of bombs. Sheriff's spokesman Steve Davis.
The coroner has not been inside. None of the investigators have been inside at this point. We're still standing by waiting for the bomb team to tell us that it's safe for everybody to go in.
Paramedic Craig Gravitz.
From what I understand of the other part of our crew that actually went inside is many of the victims were still at or under their desks in the library area.
President Clinton has sent a federal crisis management team to Littleton. CBS News correspondent David Dow attended a church service held in the community.
This has been a service of healing at Light of the World Catholic Church. Perhaps 2,000 people overflowed the church to share the grieving experience that has rocked this community and indeed rocked the entire state. People now standing in little huddles, embracing, tears flowing, comforting one another, counselors moving through the crowd, counselors from the local high schools, meeting with little groups of people, trying to comfort them. David Dow, CBS News, Littleton, Colorado.
In each case, there are fatalities. The university is shocked and indeed horrified that this would befall us, and I want to extend my deepest and most sincere and profound sympathies to the families of these victims, which include our students. We are currently in the process of notifying next of kin. The Virginia Tech police are being assisted by numerous other jurisdictions, including Montgomery County. Crime scenes are being investigated by the university police, the FBI, and the state police. We continue to work to identify the victims that have been impacted by this tragedy. I cannot begin to convey my own personal sense of loss over this senseless and incomprehensible heinous act. The university will immediately set up counseling centers. So far, centers have been identified in Ambler Johnson and the Cook Counseling Center to work with our campus community and their families. Now, here are some of the facts as we know them. At about 7:15 this morning, a 911 call came to the University Police Department concerning an event in West Ambler Johnson Hall. There were multiple shooting victims, While in the process of investigating, about 2 hours later, the university received reports of a shooting in Norris Hall. The police immediately responded. The shooter in Norris Hall is deceased. There are multiple fatalities. The number of fatalities has not been confirmed. Victims have been transported to various hospitals in the immediate area in the region to receive emergency treatment. And we will proceed to contact the next of kin as the victims' identities are available. All classes are canceled, and the university is closed for the remainder of the day. The university will open tomorrow at 8 a.m., but classes will be canceled on Tuesday. The police are currently staging the release of people from campus buildings. Families wishing to reunite with their students are suggested to meet at the end at Virginia Tech, the building we're in today. We're making plans for a convocation tomorrow at noon in Castle Coliseum for the university to come together to begin the healing process with this terrible tragedy.
We're expecting to hear from President Obama on the Orlando gay nightclub shooting massacre. 50 people are dead, 53 more sent to the hospital. Sean was at the club, but his friend was missing.
People weren't even looking on oncoming traffic. It was just people were just trying to get away and not get shot.
Florida Governor Rick Scott.
It's devastating when you see, how many people lost their life and just the impact it's going to have on their families. It's just, I've got kids and grandkids. You can't imagine.
Police shot and killed the gunman, American Omar Mateen, after an hours-long overnight hostage standoff.
Newtown mourns its slain children.
Mere words cannot match the depths of your sorrow.
Investigators say massacre could have been worse.
Hundreds of unspent rounds.
New debate about guns.
It's time for change. This is tragic.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Steve Futterman in Newtown, Connecticut with the CBS World News Roundup. This town begins burying the victims of Friday's elementary school massacre today. Two of the children killed, six-year-olds Jack Pinto and Noah Posner. Last night, President Obama spoke at a memorial service to honor all 26 who lost their lives at the Sandy Hook School.
I am very mindful that mere words cannot match the depths of your sorrow, nor can they heal your wounded hearts.
Correspondent Jeff Glore.
As President Obama addressed the crowd at Sandy Hook High School last night,
I can only hope it helps for you to know,
he said he spoke for all parents,
that you're not alone in your grief, that our world too has been torn apart, that all across this land of ours, we have wept with you.
But he also spoke as a weary leader.
These tragedies must end. Surely we can do better than this. Jesse, James.
And as he read the names of the Grace, 20 children who died in Friday's shooting,
Emily,
some of the 900 audience members
Jack,
began to cry.
Noah, Caroline.
Each victim was represented by a white candle that burned throughout the interfaith vigil.
This Newtown resident says the president struck the right tone in a time of grief.
I think it was very important that he came here. I think it was a very uplifting speech. I think he kept it non-political, which is what everyone wanted.
Authorities now indicate the late gunman, 20-year-old Adam Lanza, had enough firepower to kill just about everyone inside the school. State Police Lieutenant Paul Vance.
High-capacity magazine for the rifle. All right, and multiple magazines for the rifle and multiple magazines for both handguns.
CBS News senior correspondent John Miller has more.
Had he not encountered police that early on, and it appears he probably didn't expect to, with all of that additional ammo loaded into magazines that he intended to keep going through that school, it is hard to imagine something this bad could have been worse.
Sally Cox is the school nurse at Sandy Hook Elementary. She told CBS's Scott Pelley for last night's 60 Minutes she took cover under her desk when the gunfire got closer.
I could see his feet and his legs from the knees down, and his feet were facing in my direction. And I just froze with fear. And then he just, it was just seconds, and then he turned around, and I could hear him walk out. I heard the door close, and then I just heard popping starting all over again.
The motive for the massacre is not clear. Lanza killed his gun enthusiast mother before heading to the school on Friday. CBS's Bob Orr.
Police are looking into the relationship Adam Lanza had with his mother. We know that she was very protective of him. He was socially awkward and not a very outgoing personality.
Sandy Hook students will go to a new location when classes resume later this week. Erica Canfield, the mother of a fourth grader, says the school should not reopen.
No, I don't think so. What happened there is just, it's a nightmare.
A neighboring town has offered a vacant school for the children of Sandy Hook Elementary to use. Steve.
Well, children all over the country are going back to school today, but because of what happened in Newtown, this is not just any Monday. Many school districts are reviewing security, determined to keep kids safe. We're live with CBS's Peter King.
And Steve, Orange County, Florida is like many other places. There is a plan.
We conduct school emergency response training for each and every one of our 23,000 staff members.
School board president Bill Sublette says they're stepping up security, but not turning schools into armed camps. In Missouri, St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch says maybe some school personnel should be armed to respond more quickly.
Generally speaking, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, they're over. And the only way that you're going to be able to deal with that, if you don't have an armed police officer at the school, is to allow the school personnel with proper training to have that available to them.
Steve?
Well, there are now growing calls to ban military-style assault weapons. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg on NBC's Meet the Press says it is a key moment for President Obama.
His views on issues like this are the right views, but the president has to translate those views into action.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. Some Democrats in Congress say as early as today they'll propose restoring a ban on assault weapons and limiting the size of ammunition clips, steps that until last Friday would not have stood a chance, in large part because of the National Rifle Association, the powerful lobby, says political analyst Norm Ornstein.
No member of Congress, no matter how safe, wants to have some group pouring millions of dollars in dedicated to smearing them or defeating them.
Ornstein adds that fear of the NRA may, however, be exaggerated.
He's not radicalized, he was homophobic. CBS News Special Report, I'm Steve Dorsey.
We're also getting reports from the Associated Press that a number of medical centers are on alert to and preparing to accept victims, gunshot victims. Is that, can you confirm that?
That would be protocol for this type of situation. We would notify all our level one trauma centers or any trauma centers in the area to be ready for victims. And due to the extent of their injuries, then we would determine which hospital they actually go to. We are lucky that we have several very good trauma centers close to the location. So.
And Lieutenant, we keep hearing more and more about these active shooters in workplaces and business places. How often does the department actually train for this sort of thing? Is this something you train for every few months, every year? Because it seems like
it's training that we receive on a reoccurring basis all the time. Every time one of these situations happens, we learn something new. We train our officers as quick as we possibly can. We brief and we debrief and we work through these issues on a regular basis.
Okay, so this is audio from our sister station, KCAL 9. They are talking to San Bernardino Police Lieutenant Rich Lawhead on this breaking situation in San Bernardino. And just to recap what is happening here, there are reports of 1 to 3 active shooters at this facility in San Bernardino, the Inland Regional Center in the 1300 block of South Waterman Avenue. We have reports that there are as many as 12 dead, at least 12 dead, possibly 20 injured. And this is an active shooter situation, and we have and we have reports now that Charles Feldman has been looking at them. They are bomb squads on the scene.
Well, a number of things. The Los Angeles Field Division's ATF squad, they've moved to the scene. The FBI is apparently on the scene. And I see a report here that the San Bernardino PD bomb and arson team is going to intentionally, according to this tweet I'm looking at, detonate a suspicious device via robot. And we heard a couple of reports about a suspicious device in the building where the shootings apparently took place. But now we're hearing that there's an attempt to detonate it to see what it is made of. This is KNX, KNX HD, KAMP HD2, Los Angeles. You're listening to live in-depth team coverage of a live active shooter situation right now in San Bernardino. Reports of numerous victims. We have very reliable reports of deaths as well, as many as possibly 12. We are working very hard to try and bring together all the information. Details are still very sketchy at this point. It's a very fluid situation. This has all gone down in the last hour or so. Our team coverage continues. We have Pete Demetrio and Claudia Pescuda on their way to the scene. Stay with KNX 1070. Live, in-depth team coverage throughout the course of the day.
Take a pound of pent-up anger, stir up with mental instability, and throw in a high-tech weapon, and you have a recipe for mass murder, American style. It's happened in post offices, schoolyards, and printing plants. Yesterday, it happened again in Killeen, Texas, and it was the bloodiest ever. Correspondent Scott Pelley reports.
This morning, 23 bodies have been removed from the Killeen cafeteria. The scene of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history is now quiet. In all, 48 people were shot during an insane rampage that lasted several minutes yesterday. During the lunch hour, the killer walked methodically through the restaurant, shooting, reloading, and shooting again. Today, that man is identified by police as 35-year-old George Hinard. Neighbors describe him as unbalanced, given to ranting and raving.
There was lots of screaming and fighting and cursing frequently.
Last summer, he wrote a letter to a neighbor. In that letter, he describes women as, quote, treacherous vipers who tried to destroy me. 14 of the dead are women. Hinard was shot and wounded by police officers. Then he put a gun to his own head and fired. This morning, investigators searched through the restaurant, but there were no further clues to the motive. Only the aftermath of insanity and a city's first hours of grieving. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Killeen, Texas.
As correspondent Richard Threlkeld reminds us, such scenes of carnage have become an all too familiar part of the American landscape.
8 of the 10 biggest mass murders in history have happened in the past decade, almost all of them mass murder by gunfire. Tragedies with one common element, the weapon. Professor James Fox is a criminologist with Northeastern University.
One of the big reasons why we're seeing more mass murders and bloodier mass murders involving many more victims is because of semi-automatic weaponry.
Like the weapon involved in the horror story yesterday in Texas, a 9mm Glock semi-automatic pistol, standard issue now in many police departments, but also available to private individuals. Joshua Horowitz of the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence.
This is not some homeowner who needs a gun every once in a while. This is the type of weapon that is meant for military application, and we should not have that put out in society to any criminal to get a hold of.
Today, the House of Representatives will vote on a crime bill which would ban some semi-automatic weapons, but not the gun that triggered the carnage yesterday in Killeen. Richard Threlkeld, CBS News, New York.